What else? What other things we got to announce? That's it. Okay, John chapter 9. We're going to talk about the light of the world. John chapter 9. We're going to cover the whole chapter because the whole chapter is one thought, one story. We're not going to read the whole chapter or hit the high points. But Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And then this is... Yeah, we did that one in Matthew too. John chapter 9. So it's the story or account of a blind man, born blind. So he was born, literally born this way, and the Lord heals him as he did when he was walking around in his earthly ministry or in his ministry first time. And so he heals this man, and in the account, of course, the religious people get mad at Jesus Christ, and they demand that the blind man explain himself, which is so ridiculous. It's just so ridiculous. And he'll have some sarcasm to get back with them. And ultimately, the whole chapter is about Jesus Christ being the light of the world. And so we're going to, like I said, hit some high points. And John chapter 9, let's pray, and then we'll jump in this. Father, pray that you'd help us this evening. And we've got a chapter to look at, and things to learn about Jesus Christ. And then I pray that you would guide us through all this and help us make the applications that need to be made and help us learn about Jesus Christ. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, John chapter 9, verse 1. You see the condition of this man. The Bible says, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. All right off the bat, give you a couple things. The condition of the man is important. He is, if you look at the chapter before, he's outside of the house of God. He's outside synagogue. He is begging. And a few things that are typical of, I don't know, just us, of sinners born. We're born outside of God's family, your first birth. Your problem with sin originates at birth. It is running through your veins. Sin is just running through your veins. And this man he's been blind, he's been begging, and he's beyond human help. Obviously the doctors can't help him, or he can't get to doctors, or probably the doctors can't help him. So he's beyond human help. And all of these things, they're conditions that this man has that are just like a lost soul. Outside of God's house, a problem that originates at birth, beyond human help, and then Jesus Christ, the good thing is, then Jesus Christ comes by. And he sees the man, and the disciples ask a question, but I want you to notice the answer here that Jesus Christ has. So the disciples ask a question that's probably indicative and probably a normal question that everybody, if they don't ask the question, they have the thought. And that is, if this fella has a problem, there's probably some reason he has a problem. There's some sin associated to this infirmity. There's something connected to this guy's trouble. So the disciples say, so whose fault is it that this man is blind? Was it his parents' fault? Was it his fault, which I don't know how in the world it could be his fault, because he's born blind, so he hadn't done anything. He was just born like that. So it is, the question is something that probably, if people don't vocalize it, they think it when someone gets into trouble, that the question is, or the when someone has this infirmity or something, there's some curiosity about who's to blame for this. Who's to blame for this? And I think, I know there's probably moms that you have a child that has some sort of a defect or something, or at least, you know, born with some infirmity, and mom would probably think, I did something to this child. And just the guilt. But that's not necessarily true. So here's the answer Jesus Christ gives. And it's something you need to pay attention to. He says in verse 3, neither hath this man sinned. Of course he didn't. He was born like this. He didn't cause this. Nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So here's the principle right off the bat. In Jesus Christ, suffering, infirmity, affliction is given a context. It's given value. So when people suffer, oftentimes the question is, why? Why am I in this situation? Why is this happening? Well, in Jesus Christ, the suffering now has value. It has a context to it. It's put into a place. And so Jesus Christ says, well, this has happened so that God will get the glory out of it. And of course, I mean, people are, just because we're fallen people and our bodies are frail and eventually they die and all that. Sometimes they die earlier than later, and it's just the human condition. It's just where we're at. And these afflictions, though, oftentimes can give God an opportunity to get some glory. So suffering's given a context in Jesus Christ. Tragedy's given a context in God's redemptive power here. There's no sin directly linked to this man's blindness. But what can happen here is the glory of God can be revealed in this man. And so God's glory begins to show up in some of these strange places like this. but I guess you think about it, it's not really a strange place. Because when men are weak, that's when God is strong. And so that's the opportunity. All right, so Jesus Christ passed by. Disciples have a question about the blind fellow, and he's begging there. And Jesus Christ says this in verses 4 and 5. And this is sort of the theme of the entire chapter. Verse 4 says, I must work the works of him that sent me, whilst it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. That's going to be the theme of this whole chapter here. So, Jesus Christ's explanation in verse 6, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. It's kind of weird. And said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Here's another principle that you find in this. It's a kind of gross thing. He spits on the ground, he makes mud, and then he puts the mud in the man's eyes, and he tells the man, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And here's the principle at work. Go clean yourself off and see. Go clean and see. So part of people's blindness, spiritually speaking, part of the reason sinners wander around in confusion and sort of disorientation and misunderstanding and misinterpretation of life and things like that, part of it is because they're just unclean. People are just unclean. I'll give you a simple example. Have you ever been driving down the road and maybe it just rained or something like that, and you're driving behind a car, a truck, or whatever, and as you're driving, you're getting mud just thrown onto the windshield? And I mean, it's a simple example, but what you do is you clean the windshield so you can see. Clean equals sight. That's the point. Getting clean equals sight. And when it comes to sin, sin muddies the water. I mean, you don't understand where you're at, who you are, what's going on, what's going to happen to me, what's my life about, any of that kind of stuff. You have all these muddled questions because people live in sin. And then when they start getting cleaned up, what happens is things start to clear up. Things in life just start to become a little bit clearer. You get a better vision. The Lord said one time, He said, my people perish, or people perish for lack of knowledge, or lack of where there is no vision, people perish. Well, of course, people perish where there's no vision because they can't see what they're doing. They don't know where they're going. But cleanliness, he says, all right, the Lord puts mud on this man's eyes. Sounds weird. It does sound weird. I'll give it to you. It sounds weird. But it's a pretty clear principle that getting cleaned up equals vision. That's the idea. So it's cleansing that brings sight. Vision came as a result of cleansing. Let me read you a verse in Ephesians real quick. Ephesians chapter 4. It's just, you don't have to turn there. I'll just read it to you. It says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind," listen to this, "having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." Just wandering around in filth and blindness. And that's when the Lord looks down from heaven and sees the nations and sees people, he sees them wandering around in darkness and blind and confusion and a mess because they're just, it's filthiness. So the principle at work, cleansing brings sight. It's simple. You want to understand more about what the Lord wants for your life? Start cleaning up some things in your life. And then what will happen is you'll understand a little bit more about what the Lord wants out of your life. Or direction for your life, things like that. So cleansing brings sight. Then this, verse 8. "The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged?" So vision is now going to make, it's going to change his entire life. "And his neighbors see him, they say, that was the man that was begging. That was the man that used to sitting in front of the temple begging. And this man looks like that man, but this man can see." Verse 9, "Some said, this is he. Others said, he's like him. But he said, I'm he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I don't know. I didn't see him when he did it. I just went to the pool and washed. Now I could see, but when he was there in front of me, I couldn't see who he was. So they ask him this question, so where is the man? Where is the doctor that healed you? I don't know where he is. I don't know. He just helped me out. I don't know. But notice in verses 8 through 12, the change in the man is visible to everybody. This is not the same guy. I mean, it is the same guy, but it's not the same guy. It's the same person, it's the same human being, but he can see now. He's acting different. He's doing different things. His behavior is different. Of course it's different because he can see. And I mean, you get the idea. It's a simple thought. It's basic. You come to Jesus Christ, he's the light of the world, cleans up your life, you can see, and you got some direction, changes your behavior, it changes your thoughts about things, changes your perspective about life. And people notice that. People took note of it. So the change is noticeable, The vision he got changed his testimony. It changed his occupation. I mean, he's not a beg. He doesn't have to beg anymore. He can actually go get a job. He can go do something now. Change his occupation. He looks the same, but he's a different person. It's kind of like Paul said in Corinthians, it's a new creature. I mean, he has the same flesh. It's the same person, but he's a new creature. He's different in Christ. And so the change is, it's noticeable. All right? Number 14 here. I don't know, whatever we're on. You got a big, big chunk of scripture here, verses 13 through about 38. And we'll start reading some of it, but I'm not going to read all of this. But I want you to see what happens. Now, before I read it, though, if you're familiar with the Pharisees and you're familiar with the Bible, you can just imagine what the religious people thought about the whole situation. Are they going to, let's do this Sunday school class, are they going to like this or are they going to hate this? They're not going to like this at all. This is not good. Anytime God's power is actually put on display in the synagogue, they don't want any part of that. Verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. This is the second or third time he's told the story, and it's just like, you know what? He put clay on my eyes, I washed, now I see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. What a stupid thing to say. So their concern about this is Jesus Christ doesn't keep the Sabbath day. That's what it was. They considered this work, although to be fair with them, not to be fair with them, they were the ones buying and selling on the Sabbath day when Jesus Christ ran them out of the temple. So these people, they're just hypocrites. And so they're gonna try to get the Lord and, you know, sort of caught between the law and what they say is the law. It's not really the law. And so they say, now this man's not of God. Even though he healed a man who was blind from his birth, their contention is, well, he did it on the wrong day of the week. This is just crazy. It's mind-boggling. Crazy. And here's what they say, verse 16, halfway through it here. It says, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? Of course. That's what others said. So the Pharisees are saying, well, this man, hey, before you get in too much of a hurry here, just know this Jesus is not of God because he's doing something on the Sabbath day. And then someone who has a little more intelligence says, yeah, but he healed a blind man. Did you miss that part of it? And so they say, and there was a division among the people. Crazy. Verse 17, they say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that hath opened thine eyes? He said, he's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. Good grief. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him, he shall speak for himself. So here's what they're doing. Yes, this is our son. Yes, he was born blind. But we don't really want to be in between this. So you need to go ask him. We're not going to take a stand on Jesus. We're, you know, we don't want to say for sure what happened. So you need to just go ask him. So this is the parents' way of sort of opting out of the conversation. We don't want to proclaim Jesus Christ, obviously, because the Pharisees are against Jesus. So they're going to say, yes, is our son. Yes, he was born blind. But all the other details we don't really want to talk about. We don't really know. You can just ask him. And so, verse 22, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. Yeah. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. So they already know what he's going to do. Therefore said his parents, he's of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. they sound so religious. Give God praise. We know Jesus is a sinner, but give God praise. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. I don't know all about your religious mumbo jumbo. I don't know what you're talking about. All I know is I was blind one day in front of a synagogue begging. Jesus Christ walked by. He made me see, and that's what I know. That's where I'm at on this. Well, they don't like that. that's not good enough. No, they had already decided what their decision on Jesus. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Now he's getting really sarcastic. It's like, I have already answered your question. In fact, I have answered this question 10 times now. I have already answered this question, and you know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like maybe you want to be his disciples. Oh, no, not us. No, don't you dare accuse us of doing that. So he kind of just puts it back in their court, and he says, you're asking all these questions. I'm getting the feeling you want to follow him. Well, then they kind of back off, or actually back off from one mode of questioning. Now they're just going to get mad at him. Then they reviled in verse 28 and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. So religious. We know what God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. We know our Bibles, but this guy, we don't know where he came from. Don't you dare accuse us of being disciples of this man. Verse 30, the man answered and said unto them, well, herein is a marvelous thing. This is great. This is a great interaction here. Herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Isn't that great? This guy is pretty intelligent. I mean, he's a pretty smart guy. He's pretty sharp. And he says, now this is pretty interesting. So you know Moses, and you want to denounce this man that healed my eyes. It's kind of an interesting thing. He says, you're the religious leaders. You're the guys who are supposed to be helping people. And here's a man that walked by, opened my eyes, and you don't even know anything about him. Who are you? You're obviously not who you say you are. Verse 31, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, what is it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. That's a pretty solid argument. You religious guys, this is pretty interesting. Y'all don't even know who this man is who performed this miracle that only God could do. But you claim to know God, but you don't seem to know any of his power or anything he's done here. And furthermore, there's not really on record anybody that was ever born blind and then was made able to see. That's the testimony of this man. I like this guy. He's a really sharp guy. They answered and said, verse 34, unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? Are you going to teach us something? How dare you? How dare you tell us what we are? How dare you tell us about God and his work? How dare you try to inform us and disciple us and teach us about God? We're the representatives of God. And this man's like, you wouldn't know God from Adam. You've never seen God work, and these people are just getting so mad about it. Verse 34, they answered and said, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. So that's the thanks you get for seeing the light. You've now come to the light, you go to the synagogue, and you get thrown out of the synagogue. Praise the Lord for that. That's great. What a blessing that is. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. A couple of things to take note of. We mentioned it a little bit here. So the man, he sees the light. He sees. There's a noticeable change. People around him notice, obviously, that his behavior has changed. The religious leaders notice, and their response is to cast him out because he's come to the light. Because he's seen the light now, they cast him out. And then the Lord goes and finds the man and asks him if he believes, and he says, yes, Lord, I believe. I believe you are the Lord. And then the whole thing is summed up in a couple verses here. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. Here's the principle. Here's the point. If you were blind, you would say, remember Jesus Christ at the very beginning, he said, I'm the light of the world. Okay? So he said, look, if you were blind, you would be saying, I need the light. But because you say we see, what you're saying is, I don't need the light. Meaning, I'm not interested in Jesus Christ. But if you were blind, not physically blind, but it's a good illustration. If you were blind, you would be saying, I need light. Jesus Christ had said several verses before, I am the light of the world. So the principle is pretty simple. If you say you're blind, that means I need the light. And that means I've got sin, I need help. But because you religious Pharisees say you can see, what you're essentially saying is, we're not interested in the light. We got what we need. And then Jesus Christ says, therefore, you're still in your sin. That's the principle. I'm the light of the world. If you were blind, you would need the light, and you would come to the light. But you say you see, therefore you don't come to the light, and you don't need the light, therefore you're still in your sins. If you come to me, I'll take away your sins, but if you don't come to me because you say you don't need me, then you'll just be in your sins. And that's the point of the whole thing. It's summed up in those couple of verses. So it's a great story. I love this back and forth. And then I told you we wouldn't read the whole chapter, but we did. So, oh well. But we did it in better time than I thought it would take a little bit longer. But you get the point of the whole chapter. You get the point of the whole chapter. I'm the light of the world. That's what Jesus Christ said. And it gives, just a little recap here. In Jesus Christ, the tragedy is given a context. It's given value. This man's born blind. Well, who sinned? Well, nobody sinned. But God's going to be glorified in this context here. God's going to be glorified in his life. It gives context and value to the affirmity or the affliction and infirmity there. Second thing is, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Third thing is, cleansing is what brings sight. Getting clean brings sight. Just like your windshield wipers, cleaning off the windshield brings sight. Just like in your life, getting rid of sin brings sight. Another thing is, the change is noticeable. When you go from blindness to sight, it can't help but change your life. It can't help but change your life. I love watching. There's these videos. I love watching videos of people who maybe, usually it's kids or people hearing for the first time. I've seen some of these videos. It's so incredible. And you'll watch this child, baby, and they'll just be sitting there and they'll have something in their ear, and all of a sudden the sound will come on, or mom will start talking, and it's like their eyes just, whoa, what was that? That's like Jesus Christ entering into somebody's life. It's just, the lights come on. Whoa! You can't help but change your behavior. Change is noticeable. But, on the downside, it was noticeable to the religious people, and they just cast them out of synagogue. We don't want anything to do with you now. You are bringing this Christ into the synagogue, and he has no place in the synagogue. Actually, he is the reason for the synagogue, but you can't see that. And then the Lord teaches the spiritual lesson. I'm the light of the world. If you were blind, you would need light, and I would deal with your sins. But because you say you see, you don't need the light. Therefore, you're in your sins. Simple principle. The light of the world. Father, I pray it's been helpful. It is it's fun to read. It's there's a lot of sarcasm in here. It's kind of funny. But there's a lot of good material and good principles at work there. I pray you'd encourage folks tonight. Thank you for each soul that's here this evening. And thank you for these words. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.